Supervisor Brennan?
Yes.
If all members voted, Secretary Close Rule.
The roll shows all senators present this morning.
May we stand for the invocation?
Dear God, yours is the kingdom and the power and glory. May our work reflect that truth.
Without objection, I would ask that the prayer be spread on the journal. Secretary, certify as correctness of the Daily Journal.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 128th Legislative Day and Senate Supplement Number 31.
Senator Ray?
I would move the journal for the 128th Legislative Day and Senate Supplement Number 31 be approved as certified.
Without objection. So ordered. There are guests for introduction this morning. Senator Moss.
Mr. President, I have in galley A back here behind me, the publisher and editor of Alaska Farm Magazine. It's a magazine that has become a nationwide thing from the Delta Junction bison barley area. And he is in the galley there, and I also have one other gentleman, that's the business manager for the city of Anderson, and I think perhaps you've seen him around a little bit, something else about a prison or something. I'd like to welcome him today.
We welcome you both this morning. Senator Pettyjohn.
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce to the body a fellow member of the bar from Anchorage and a good friend of long standing of mine, Mike Schneider.
Are there messages from the governor this morning?
Message of May 23, dear Mr. President. Pursuant to applicable law, I submit the following names for legislative confirmation of appointment to the positions noted. Guide Licensing and Control Board, Pauline Carlo Fairbanks.
Resources Committee.
The State Commission for Human Rights, Jacqueline Lindauer.
State Affairs.
Alaska Bar Association Boards of Governors, Glenda Straub.
Judiciary.
Real Estate Commission, John Rabachi, Anchorage, Laverne Collins of Anchorage.
Commerce Committee.
Sincerely, Bill Sheffield, Governor. That is the only message from the governor.
We're expecting a short period of time, perhaps not as short as we wish, to confirmation, so I hope they could be examined and reported on in a reasonable period. Are there messages from the House?
Message of May 25, dear Senator Petula, regarding the joint session is on everybody's desk. This has been distributed.
Thank you. You have the opportunity to read the speaker's answer to our request for a joint session. I see no reason, personally, not to accommodate a reasonable period of time for them to hold their hearings now, which they intend to do on the subjects that are up for confirmation, the individuals up for confirmation. So I think probably we can hold our request for Monday, unless there's objection, in abeyance for a while to see what progress is taking place over there. As long as they proceed to confirmation, I think that's probably what the Senate really wants, desires. We'll be at ease. My response to the House will be forthcoming tomorrow, and I will read the response to the Senate before I send it. There are further communications from the House.
Message of May 24, the House passed the following and transmitted for consideration. CS for House Bill Number 203, financed by the Finance Committee, an act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services to pay expenses resulting from an increase in prison population and providing for an effective date.
Yes, Finance.
CS for House Bill Number 357, Rules for the Rules Committee, an act relating to the regulation of religious schools.
Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
CS for House Bill Number 413, financed by the Finance Committee, an act relating to the creation of the Capital Area Historic Properties Advisory Commission and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs, Finance.
Those are the messages from the House.
Are there communications this morning?
There is a communication from the Alaska Power Authority, Eric Yule, Executive Director, dated May 24, 1983, regarding the Swan Lake Project. This will be on file in the Senate Secretary's office. Message of May 20, 1983, to the members of the legislature from Gerald L. Wilkerson, CPA, Division of Legislative Audit, releasing audits on the Department of Law's Criminal Division, the Division of Adult Corrections, the Office of Management and Budget, and the Revenues Division of Treasury. These consolidated reports also will be on file in the Secretary's office. Those are the communications.
Reports of standing committees.
May 24, dear Mr. President, from the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. The members of the Community and Regional Affairs have considered the appointment of Mark Lewis as Commissioner of the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, and no objections have been stated to his confirmation. This does not indicate an intention on the part of any committee member to vote for or against his confirmation. Sincerely, Senator Frank Ferguson, Chairman, Senator Bennett, Vice Chairman, Senators Hofford, Gilman, and Sackett. The judiciary considered Senate Bill Number 167, Correctional Facilities, Good Time Computation, and the Imprisonment and Rehabilitation of Offenders, and recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute. Senator Ray, Chairman, and Senator Pei, John Eliason signed due pass. Senator Ziegler signed no recommendation. They attached two new fiscal notes. SB 167 has a further referral to finance. Transportation considered House Concurrent Resolution Number 29, encouraging the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to use calcium magnesium acetate as an ice and dust control agent. Senator Moss, Chairman, and Senators Fakes and Gilman signed due pass. HCR 29 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
State Affairs considered committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 2, Judiciary, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska, limiting the length of regular sessions of the legislature, and recommends it be replaced with the Senate Committee Substitute State Affairs. Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, signed no recommendation. Signing do pass were Senators Kelly and Sturgiluski. Senator Ray signed do not pass unless amended. House Joint Resolution 2 has a further referral to Judiciary. Finance considered House Bill 8 and recommends do not pass. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring in do not pass were Senators Josephson, Mulcahy, Vic Fisher, Ferguson, Bakes, and Sackett. House Bill 8 did have one due pass coming out of Judiciary. House Bill 8 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Community and Regional Affairs considered CS for sponsor substitute for House Bill Number 42, Finn, determination of population for purposes of calculating amounts of state aid, and recommends due pass. Senator Ferguson, Chairman, signed due pass if amended, signing due pass for Senators Halford and Gilman. House Bill 42 has a further referral to finance. Labor and Commerce considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 182, Finn, exempting participants in residential drug abuse and alcoholism treatment programs from Alaska's minimum wage provisions, and recommends due pass. Signed, Senator Eliason, Chairman, concurring Senator Sackett and Mulcahy. Senator Rohde signed, no recommendation. House Bill 182 has a further referral to finance. Labor and Commerce considered CS for House Bill Number 281, LNC, payment of wages, and recommends due pass. Signed, Senator Eliason, Chairman, concurring Senators Mulcahy, Sackett, and Rohde. House Bill 281 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Rules considered SSSB 174, employment preference for state residents and construction contracts, and recommends calendaring May 25. Signed, Senator Fakes, Chairman, concurring Senators Bennett, Ferguson, and Kelly. This does appear on today's calendar. Rules considered, Senate Bill 265 permits issued for games of chance and contests of skill and recommends a State Affair Committee substitute be adopted in calendar May 25. Signed, Senator Fakes, Chairman, concurring Senator Ferguson and Senator Bennett. This also appears on today's calendar. Those are the standing committee reports.
Are there reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Takes us to the... there are bills for first reading and reference?
There are no bills, Mr. President.
Takes us to the daily calendar, Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, consent that the Senate stand in recess to the call of the chair for purposes of a leadership caucus.
There'll be a brief recess, Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, the minority will caucus also.
A brief recess.
The consideration of the daily
calendar, I'm not sure what's happened to some of our membership. I'm sure they'll be in a moment. You have the floor, resources chairperson.
Mr. President, may we revert to introduction of guests?
Without objection.
In the gallery behind me, I noticed just came in, Joan Ramberg, a very good friend of mine and a constituent from home. One of her highest qualifications, of course, was that she's treasurer of the Fahrenkamp for Senate campaign, and I certainly want to welcome her here, Joan Ramberg.
Honored to have you with us today. I would like to make note, if I'm privileged to go down to announcement of committee meetings for just a moment. There'll be a committee on committee meeting upon adjournment today in either the Belts or the Butrovich room. Just be a brief meeting. Would the secretary, we'll stand at ease for a moment. Will the sergeant of arms
daily calendar.
Second reading of Senate bills. The sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 174. Will the secretary read the bill by title?
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 174 by Senators Josephson, Fahrenkamp, Krutula, Vic Fisher, Eliason, Gilman, Sturgiluski, Petty, John Kelly, and Halford. An act relating to employment preferences for state residents and providing for an effective date. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered this bill. Senator Mulcahy, Vice Chairman, and Senator Sackett signed do pass. Senator Rohde signed no recommendation with the new fiscal note and a recommend referral to finance. The Finance Committee considered this bill, and a majority of the committee recommend do pass with another new fiscal note. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Mulcahy, Josephson, Vic Fisher, Ferguson, and Sackett. Senator Fakes signed no recommendation.
Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
You have the floor, Senator. Senator Ferguson?
No.
Senator Ray?
There are no amendments, Mr. President. I would move and ask unanimous consent that the sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 174 be considered in gross advance third reading and placed in final passage.
Without objection, so ordered. Secretary, read the bill.
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 174, an act relating to employment preferences for state residents and providing for an effective date.
Bill is before you for discussion debate. Senator Ferguson has the floor.
Mr. President, sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 174 was fashioned after an executive order approved by the approved in the White versus Massachusetts in the United States Supreme Court. A recent Washington Supreme Court decision has cast legal doubts about the validity of Alaska Statute 3610 as presently constituted. Senate Bill 174 takes advantage of the White decision, puts AS 3610 in a form that would create a constitutionally permissible employment preference statute. Subsection A addresses employment preference in municipalities only, thus falling well within the boundaries established in White and avoiding the Commerce Clause challenge. Subsection B addresses employment preference on construction projects partly or wholly funded by the state, by state money. This subsection requires that 95% of all workers on such projects be Alaska residents. It also requires that each craft of workers be composed of 95% Alaska residents. This craft-by-craft provision will ensure that Alaskans will be offered jobs in all craft areas and prevent the importation of a particular craft of workers at the expense of Alaska residents. The fiscal note for this bill is 97.3, although the original bill had a request of $349,000. Of this amount, $251,000.8 was included in the Senate version of the budget. That allowed for six people. I'd request that this bill be passed.
You ready for the question? The question is, shall sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 174 pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. All members have voted. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 20 yeas.
Senate Bill 174 has passed the Senate. Senator Ray.
Ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 174 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Objection. Effective date clause has been adopted. Next bill is Senate Bill 265. Secretary, read the bill by title.
Senate Bill number 265 by Senators Dick Fisher, Fakes, Josephson, Sidzulewski, Pettyjohn, and Paul Fisher, an act relating to permits issued for games of chance and contests of skill. The State Affairs Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute. Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, and Senator Sidzulewski signed do pass. Senators Ray, Rohde, and Kelly signed no recommendation. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends that the State Affairs Committee substitute do pass with a new fiscal note. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Ferguson, Josephson, Mulcahy, Fakes, Vic Fisher, and Sackett.
Senator Fisher.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the State Affairs Committee substitute be adopted.
There's no objection. Substitute's adopted. Secretary Reed, the bill by title.
CS for Senate Bill number 265, State Affairs, an act relating to permits issued for games of chance and contests of skill.
Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
Senator Ray.
I would move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for Senate Bill 265, State Affairs, be considered engrossed, advanced, third reading, placed in final passage.
Without objection, so ordered. Secretary, read the bill in third reading. I do object to the advancement. Thank you. You have the floor, Senator.
CS for Senate Bill number 265, State Affairs, an act relating to permits issued for games of chance and contests of skill.
The bill is before you for discussion debate. You have the floor, Senator Pettyjohn.
Mr. President, with the deference of the prime sponsor, Senator Victor Fisher, I would like to just briefly go over a couple of the provisions of the bill that provide safeguards and should give assurance to every member of the body that we're not legalizing gambling in Alaska with this bill. It requires that any municipality or other organization that wants to have a function get the approval of the local law enforcement agency. It limits any activities to one event per year for no more than 3 days. There's a requirement of disclosure of the people involved so that no felons or others with financial interests can be involved in the activity. There is a strict regulation of the expenses of the activity. No cash prizes can be awarded at a function under this bill, and it increases the penalties for violation. This comes up because of an interpretation of Title V regarding the fur rendezvous in Anchorage and other. It does apply to other events around the state, and it is simply a. You could style it a technical change if you wished, but it simply allows the fur rendezvous and other functions like that to continue to go forward. They're very popular events. They raise money for charitable purposes, and with the limitations and restrictions in this bill, I don't think anybody should feel hesitant about essentially endorsing a practice which has gone on in the state for a number of years. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Third reading. The question is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 265 pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. any member wish to change his or her vote? All members have voted. I'll change my vote. Secretary, close the roll.
Roll shows 19 yeas, 1 nay.
Senate Bill 265 has passed the Senate. Senator Ray, there's no effective date clause. On Senate Bill 169, Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, I move an unanimous consent that CSSB 169 resources be returned to the Committee on Rules.
Objection, so ordered.
Mr. President.
You have the floor, Senator.
I'd like to take up the reconsideration notice I gave yesterday on SB 255.
Reconsideration noted. Secretary, read the bill by title.
CS, the Senate Bill Number 255, Rules, an Act relating to the payment of attorney services and expenses for indigent criminal defendants prosecuted by municipalities and providing for an effective date on reconsideration.
The bill is before you. Senator Joseph has the floor.
Mr. President, I hope that today the bill will pass. Let me just summarize a couple of findings which have been made in the course of the Finance Committee and legislative audit studies of the public defender system. The trial caseload in Anchorage in the first 6 months of FY83 was up 450% to 500% over FY81. This is not consistent with the general trend for more trials in the state. That general trend is 274%. So there is a very big difference in Anchorage and statewide. The Public Defenders Agency, in order to meet the national standards of caseloads as established by the National Law Enforcement Assistance Agency, would be required to increase at state expense by 11.5 attorneys. I think that some of us who have opposed this bill are probably not willing to appropriate money for 11.5 additional attorneys. If we do not do that and leave the law as it is, we will put the Public Defender's Office in a hopeless position insofar as keeping pace with the felony caseload and the violent crime caseload. Those cases must be brought to trial, and they deserve expeditious handling. The alternatives would be to redefine indigency standards, to lower eligibility, the number of people eligible for public defenders, to change screening policies in the public defender's, rather in the prosecutor's office, and that has been recommended several times vis-a-vis the Anchorage Municipal Prosecutor, or to have municipal governments pay the cost of providing legal representation for municipal offenses. Municipal cases, Mr. President, make up about 23% in FY82 of the public defender caseload. The municipalities, and my municipality is part of that, of course, do increase the number of police officers and prosecutors, and that's fine. And the people should get the level of law enforcement that they want to have. But in my opinion, and I said this yesterday, there is no conceptual reason why it becomes a responsibility of the state of Alaska to bear the charges over and above the state court judges system that we already pay for when there is, at the local level, a decision to intensify law enforcement effort. It has been claimed that the passage of the bill would deter aggressive law enforcement. I'm quoting now from a resolution passed by my former colleagues in the Anchorage Assembly. I do not agree with that. I think that the mayoralty election a couple of years ago was run in part on the issue of effective law enforcement. The budget process showed a willingness at the local level to provide for law enforcement, local law enforcement, and I have cited before a letter from Mr. Wurzbauer, the municipal attorney, who indicates that there will not be a deterrent effect. Finally, and I must take the strongest exception to this, the resolution of the Assembly says that the measure is anti-local government. Mr. President, many of us who support this bill have been in the forefront of home rule issues. We've been in the forefront of trying to expand local options at every level of policy. We support local government. We want effective local government. And we support good law enforcement. And I really take personal exception to the idea that because I support CSSB 255, I am anti-local government. As a matter of personal privilege, if the Senate will let me indulge this, I was the vice chair of the very charter commission that wrote the charter for the Anchorage municipality, and I've spent several years in service in borough and city government, so I am not anti-local government. It is simply a matter of saying that the public defender agency is overwhelmed by this caseload. If there is better screening, good, and that the and we're trying to help municipal taxpayers in every possible way. We've done a lot in the Senate, and I hope the House follows suit. But that this small cost, which in their case says one-tenth of a mil, which does not provide for offsets and increased fines and forfeitures from the rising caseload, which do go to the municipality of Anchorage, that small burden should be part of the local decision-making in the screening and prosecution of cases. I urge that the bill be passed.
Senator Pettijohn.
Mr. President, with all respect to my esteemed colleague from downtown Anchorage, most of us are familiar with what is termed an ad hominem argument, that is, an argument that is not based on the merits of the proposition, but is based against the person who forwards the proposition. I think the senator has neatly reversed an ad hominem argument, and now he is stating that since he is in favor of this bill, it can't possibly be against local government. It's not a question of his intentions, motivations, history, or anything else, Mr. President. It's a question of the merits of the bill. And the Anchorage Assembly, in its wisdom, states, and I agree with them, this bill is anti-local government. This bill does say to a local government, Anchorage, Fairbanks, Ketchikan, that because you choose, and this is the effect of it, because you choose to prosecute in a certain way, you're going to, in a sense, be punished for it. This legislature is, in effect, controlling the manner in which cases are prosecuted by municipalities. If we need more public defenders, let's fund them. I'm willing to vote for additional public defenders. I don't think we need 11. I think we can get by with substantially fewer than that. But if we want to affect the prosecution's policies around the state, then let's admit it, because that's what we're doing. And I think municipalities should have the freedom to prosecute in the manner that they want. I know in the district I represent, there is a very strong feeling about a particular issue of drunk driving. I think it should be pointed out to the members of this organization that Mothers Against Drunk Driving, the MAD organization, opposes this bill. They oppose it for the same reason the Anchorage Assembly opposes it, because they want to see vigorous law enforcement, and they see this as an indirect attempt to stop it. And I urge the defeat of this measure. Thank you.
You have the floor, Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I think that somewhere along the line we've lost track of something here. I've heard rhetoric on this floor and dire warnings that there will be no more prosecutions. This has nothing to do with prosecutions at all. This has to do with the city paying for the defense of municipal ordinances they bring. Now, all these flighty warnings and all these terrible things that's going to happen, I don't understand why those people who advance those arguments say that their municipalities will not support the law that they, in their wisdom, have passed by ordinance and prosecuted. This has nothing to do with prosecuting the law. This has to do with paying for the defenders or paying for the indigents who do not have the funds to provide a defense, which I think is everybody's right to have a defense of some type. And I would, I've learned that from my colleagues on the floor who are attorneys. They say everybody, regardless of if he's right or wrong, should have somebody to give him a proper defense.
You have the floor, Senator Fakes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. What my colleague is talking about, what the two lawyers have brought to the floor, is legalese. And what is being thrown up at us in psychological terms is a red herring. The fact that the municipality is taking this as an anti-crime bill or they're not going to have public safety is a red herring. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. In the Rules Committee, we allowed testimony on this bill because it the other side didn't feel there was adequate testimony provided or made available in the previous committees. And I have before me now three letters that were presented in public testimony to the Rules Committee, and I'd like to share a portion of them with the body. And then at the appropriate time, Mr. President, I'd like to move that these letters be spread in the supplemental journal, if I may, at that appropriate time. The first one is from Mark C. Rowland, Superior Court Judge, Superior Court, State of Alaska. And I quote, "The municipality files a large number of cases which are inadequately screened, never diverted, and end up in many instances in unwarranted trials. There seems to be a failure on the municipality's part to recognize the limited resources available in the district court to meet the increasing demand of competing users and to act accordingly. Whether the failure to weed out bad cases is a result of inadequate staffing, political pressure, or poor judgment, I cannot say." Then I have another from the chambers of Elaine Andrews, District Court, State of Alaska, basically saying the municipal prosecutor's policies and procedures have caused and continue to cause avoidable disruption and delay. That's meaning that state crimes, state laws are not being adequately addressed. And if you want to talk about something that's preventing criminals from being heard or defenders being heard before the courts, this bill is causing, or the fact that this bill isn't being addressed and passed by this body is causing those kinds of bunches ups and problems. And then I have my colleague from downtown Anchorage yesterday mentioned Chief Justice Burke when he spoke before the joint session of the legislature. And when he told us about this problem, which is the reason this bill is before us, because he brought this problem to the joint session of the legislature and said it needs to be looked at and addressed. And he reiterates those problems in his letter to this body. And these letters are dated May 17th, Mr. President, and I think the senators ought to be aware of them.
You have the floor. Senator Moss has been seeking the floor, and then Senator...
Mr. President, it seemed to me that I recall some remark was made about the cost of supplying these attorneys for whatever reason was somewhere between $750,000 and $1 million to the city. I would like to, if someone, to clarify this thing for me, how much income do they get from the fines versus the amount of money it costs them to do the prosecutions and so forth? Perhaps that might clear up a problem that I have with the situation.
There was a statement yesterday from Senator Halford. Do you wish to speak to this point of view?
Thank you, Mr. President. Just according to the information I had, the district attorney cost is about $1 million for all crimes. The total on fines is about $1.2 million, and the total in jail cost, which is also paid by the municipality apparently, is about $1 million. So there's a net loss in the prosecution.
You have the floor, Senator.
President, sure there's a net loss. There's a net loss when the state prosecutes criminals, too. In the perfect world, there would be no criminals, no offenders, and we could put all that money in kindergartens and flower gardens. Mr. President, that's not the world we live in. Of course there's a net cost, and the only question here is whether it is just that the state pay a net cost when it prosecutes felonies and whether the municipality should pay a net cost when it prosecutes misdemeanors. And I think, and, you know, we're talking about one-tenth of a mill here, and this is important, but it's penny-ante compared to the efforts we're making on school debt service, municipal assistance, revenue sharing, all those programs. I think that here is a place where we can say to the municipal taxpayer, you want public safety, and you should have public safety, and you should bear that portion of the cost. And by the way, Mr. President, and now we're talking about indigents who have limited ability to pay, and I need to concede that, but... By the way, within the limits of the charter and the ordinances and statutes, I think that once the public defenders are being paid for by the municipality, it very well may be, first, that there will be better screening, but second, that those prosecutors will ask the court for more realistic fines and forfeitures to help offset the cost.
Senator Pettyjohn was seeking the floor. I promised Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a response in terms of cost. There isn't any question that law enforcement prosecution costs money. The cost of this program remaining the way it is about the same as the amount of money that was appropriated by this body to produce a film presentation for the federal building, to be apparently done by an outside firm. We've already passed that. We spent $900 million to get a movie for the federal building in Anchorage, and we don't want to put the money in to encourage prosecution of basically what's drunk drivers.
You have the floor, Senator Joseph.
I'm very grateful to my friend from Chugach-Eagle River because he mentions that, and I can tell him, as I've told my colleagues on the Finance Committee, that in deeper consideration, I'm proposing that $900,000 item be deleted before we leave Juneau in 1983. So I thank the senator and tell him that problem we're going to deal with his support.
Mr. President.
Senator Sackett.
Before we get more cheap shots, could we have Nettie's?
Nettie's. Senator Ray.
Mr. President, now we've heard in generalities the money part of this thing. And I've tried for the last two or three days, in fact, a week ago, I tried to get the figures as to exactly what the breakdown was on the Anchorage prosecutor as to municipal cases and state cases. And nobody has come up with that. It's just generally said, perhaps $1 million. And I'd like to have somebody, now I heard one member, and I forget who it was, say something about what the real costs were. Now, if you can show me documents as to exactly what those costs are, signed and certified, I'll believe them. But just the generalities, and perhaps this is what it's going to cost, and perhaps this is what it's going to do. I think that really the real reason behind this is the municipalities are making money off of the municipal ordinances, and they don't want to give it up. That's the real reason.
Senator Roddy.
Ms. Beth, I appreciate my distinguished colleagues from Juneau's newfound interest in the municipality of Anchorage. Let me say it most simply. We are required by constitutional court decision to provide money for defense as well as prosecution. The question is, who shall provide the money? I think Senator Josephson very accurately stated the problem. And I think we have a choice between making the municipalities pay it or the state. I think the state has deeper pockets in that regard, and the municipalities are prosecuting many cases that would otherwise be state offenses. I think it makes more sense for the state to undertake that prosecutorial function. I think we have more resources and we're better suited. I don't think that my constituents and the constituents of other members here should have to bear that cost that's taken from their homes and property taxes, and in some locations from taxes on the sales of goods. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Alfred.
Mr. President, the projected cost is $981,000 under existing law next year.
Senator Ray.
That's through the chair. Is that just for municipal ordinances, or is that for the full cost of the prosecutor's office?
That's municipal ordinances of Anchorage.
Senator Ray.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I think that's the full cost of the office and not the municipal ordinances. That's the full cost of the operation of that office.
Mr. President,
you have the floor, Senator.
I don't have it before me, but I distinctly remember the Wurzbauer letter. I referred to it yesterday, in which he says that there are several alternatives. And he mentioned, because it came up yesterday, he mentioned the alternative of saying to the state, you prosecute these cases. And he says that would be undesirable, and he wouldn't recommend that to the Assembly. And then he says that the other alternative, is that the city pay the cost, which would be one-tenth of a mil. That is not, that is less than the figure given by the senator just given.
Are you ready for the question? Senator Bennett seeking the floor.
Just one thing, Mr. President. We've talked about this for quite some time. And we've referred to Anchorage, but there's other municipalities involved. I think the state could find itself in a most perplexing position should one of our municipalities enact something to do with gun control or something of that nature, if they've done in Illinois. Then all of a sudden we find the state of Alaska paying the tab for prosecution of such things. I think this is not what we want. And I think that we better give a little bit of consideration here. And it's time that each municipality paid their own freight for their own ordinances that they feel should be governing their own body.
The question's called for. The question is, shall sponsor substitute Senate Bill 255, committee substitute Senate Bill 255, pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. All members voted. Does any member desire to change their vote? Secretary Close.
The roll shows 11 yeas, 9 nays.
The bill has passed the Senate. There, Senator Ray.
I don't know if that has. I don't have a copy.
It has an effective date.
Effective date. Senator, I would move the effective date clause.
Motion is. Shall it?
January 1st.
Question is: shall the effective date clause be adopted? You may proceed to vote. All members have voted. Does any member desire to change the vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 20 yeas.
This effective date clause is passed. Rules, Chairperson.
Yes, Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the letter from Chief Justice Edmund Burke, from Judge Elaine Andrews, and from Superior Court Judge Mark C. Rowland be spread on the supplemental journal for today, please.
Objection, so ordered. Senator Kelly.
Resolution passed by the Anchorage Assembly last night be spread on the supplementary journal.
No objection, so ordered. Well, takes us to the citation calendar. Secretary, read the citation calendar.
Citations. Honoring Tom Richards Sr. by Senator Sackett and Ferguson. In Memoriam, George Hamilton Sr. by Senators Eliason and Ziegler. Honoring Valdez High School by Senators Paul Fisher and Gilman.
Senator Ray.
There are no additions. I move the citation calendar be approved as read.
Citation calendar. Senator Ziegler.
Ray, read the Blair citation on the second page. Robert Blair. Or is that for tomorrow?
Tomorrow, sir.
Okay.
Yes. Without objection, citation calendar has been adopted. We are under unfinished business. Mr. Chairman Ferguson.
I move and ask unanimous consent for the CRA to waive House Bill 339, a special appropriation for the Alaska Special Olympics. This bill was passed to us Friday, and we wouldn't be able to hear it in our committee meeting until next Tuesday, so in order to get this bill moving.
Without objection, there's another committee referral. SCR 20, we note, has a fiscal note. SCR 20, I'm referring to finance. We're referring to finance without objection. You have the floor, Senator Victor Fisher.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent to be excused from Senate on Friday and excuse from call of the House that day.
Objection. Are there further items on unfinished business? You have the floor, Resources Chairperson.
Mr. President, I move that House Bill 381 be waived from the Senate Resources Committee. That is the bill relating to the wholesale pricing of salmon. An identical bill was passed out of our committee on May 18th. Ask unanimous consent.
It goes to finance without objection. Are there announcement of committee meetings this morning? Committee meetings. Finance Chairman.
At 1:30 this afternoon, at which time we'll take up House Bill 309, which is the reappropriation transfer bill.
Further announcement of committee meetings. Brief committee on committee meeting members, Butrovich or whatever room is available outside here, right on adjournment. You have the floor, Senator. Are there items under special orders this morning? You have the floor. Senator, excuse me.
Under special orders, Mr. President, I'd like to discuss a grain reserve bill just momentarily.
Without objection under special orders.
Mr. President, I'm most appreciative that I was allowed to withdraw 169 from the floor this morning. Hopefully, we will bring up the House Bill 156, which is identical to it, in the immediate future. I'm most appreciative of that. I think that it will also create a better relationship between the Senate and the House on other bills. Thank you, sir.
Senator Ray.
The inquiry, Mr. President, on the Committee on Committees, does that remove officers from the Senate?
It's to change things around.
Yeah, okay. Does this have anything to do with today's vote? There's no other business to come before the Senate. I move we adjourn at 10 a.m. Thursday, May 26th.